One of the blessings I have as I travel around doing some locum work, okay? That's, you know what that is, don't you? It's when I go around and help out where there's vacancies. All right, so I have an opportunity to encourage people how to dwell in God's Word. Not just to read it, but to dwell in it, to sit in it, to meditate upon it. And one of the things that I like to do is to do that by reading it very slowly. I encourage you that when you read the Word, read it very slowly and out loud. Because then Holy Spirit can give you one thing for your day out of that scripture. Holy Spirit will speak to you. He'll give you something. And that's what I'd like to do with the second reading for today from 2 Corinthians. From verse 7, Paul writes, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So if we sat in that for a little bit longer, just rested in what you've heard, what one thing captured you? What one thing spoke to you? What one thing did Holy Spirit give you? Did he give you anything? Perhaps a question to be answered? What was it? If we had lots of time, I'd get you to share it with someone alongside of you, and then they could share what they got with you, and then you could share what they said with the rest of us, and they could share what you said to them with the rest of us, and it'd be an interesting exercise of what Holy Spirit's saying to us all collectively. Try it. It actually works. Interesting. It does work. I won't ask you, I won't put you on the spot because you're all timid and shy, aren't you? But I'm going to share with you something now that might fill in the one thing that Holy Spirit gave you. Or might answer a question that came to mind as you listen to the word. There's a favourite children's story. The little engine that could. Remember it? I'm sure you know how the story goes, right? There's a little railroad engine that was employed at a station yard for such work as what it was built for. Just pulling a few cars here and a few cars there, on and off the switches. You know, the different tracks. One morning, the little engine was waiting for the next call when a long row of carriages, a long row of freight cars, asked the large engine to take it over the hill. "I can't. That is too much for me to pull," said the great engine, built for hard work. Then the train asked another engine. Well, you know, they asked another engine. No, and another. Only to hear excuse after excuse and be refused. In desperation, the row of carriages asked the little switch engine to draw it up the grade and down on the other side. "I think I can," puffed the little locomotive. "Yep." And put itself in front of the great heavy row of carriages, freight carriages, right? Then, as it went on, the little engine kept bravely puffing faster and faster. "I think I can, I think I can, I think I can." As it neared the top of the grade, which had so discouraged the larger engines, it went more slowly. However, it still kept saying, "I think I can, I think I can." It then reached the top by drawing on bravery and then went down on the other grade, congratulating itself by saying, "I thought I could, I thought I could, I thought I could." By chugging on with his motto, "I think I can," the engine succeeded in pulling the long row of carriages over the mountain. You know, without realizing it, so many people seem to adopt a similar saying like that. Sayings like, "Believe in yourself. Find your inner strength. He can who thinks he can," or "she can who thinks she can." Or, you know, "God helps those who help themselves," right? "Dream big and you will achieve it. Reach for the stars." Can you think of any others? I reckon you've heard things like that, haven't you? And other statements like them. People read them in self-help books, hear them from motivational speakers. They underpin themes in movies and stories and talk shows. But how different they are to what Paul writes in this second letter to the Corinthians. Like, if positive thinking, daily affirmations, self-talk, dream building, visualization, chanting, fire walking, or any other technique that can self-help gurus preach actually work, then why are people failing miserably in our communities? Got an answer? Why is there so much depression and other spiritual, emotional, physical ailments people are dealing with in our communities? You read it, you see it on the news all the time. You read about it in the papers. You hear about it on the radios. I reckon it's because for years, people have been led to believe the wrong things, giving the wrong answers. It's actually not about them. It's not about what they can do or even what they think they can do. They let their own efforts get in the way, you see, of what God wants to do within them and for them. Meaning, people need renewal. Not from within themselves or any other self-help guru. No. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 13, says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not what we can do, it's what Jesus can do in for us and through us. It's not about us. It's not what we can do. The response, I think I can, becomes problematic. Why? What I believe needs to happen is that we're called by Holy Spirit to let go. Things will only begin to change as we are transformed within by Holy Spirit. When we don't get in the road. Just as our Lord said to Paul, he says to each of us, my power is strongest when you are what? Weak. God's power is strongest when I'm weak. It's true. I'm still discovering that after years. It's only when I'm willing to admit I cannot do it in my own strength that I clear the path for Holy Spirit to be at work and within me and then for me and then through me for others. It's only when we understand that it's far, far beyond our own capabilities and power that we clear the path for God, for Holy Spirit to be at work. It's only when we believe that with God it can be done. That we clear the path for God to be at work within us, for Holy Spirit to work within us. It's when I realize, along with Paul, when I'm weak, then I am strong. That we clear the path for God, for Holy Spirit to be then at work in me. So if I want personal renewal, I'm called to surrender me, my old nature, my old self. For that's the way to set the stage for renewal and transformation from Holy Spirit. When I'm weak, then I am strong. Now, when Paul wrote, when I'm weak, then I'm strong, it might read to people like another case of religious pretension. Perhaps the pious bragging of, you know, of a person who never really knew what it was to be a weakling. And if that were the case, then we could sympathize with the critics. If any person wanted to give Paul advice about how to cope with his weakness, he would have said for them not to speak from the comfort of an untested armchair spirituality. But let them speak out of the mud and the muck of disappointment, the deep loss, out of the arena of suffering and distress, or from the grief and the struggle to survive in a sea of desolation. Whatever it might be. That's why we're called to listen to Paul. When I'm weak, then I am strong. He knew what he was talking about. You read his story. How many times did he find himself in trouble, in weakness? He knew what it was he was talking about. Nothing was untested about his spirituality. For in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul speaks frankly about some chronic condition. Right? That was plagued his life. He labels the condition as a what? A thorn in the flesh to harass me, a Satan's messenger to keep me from becoming overconfident. Numerous people have made guesses at what that condition might be. The truth is, we don't have a clue as to what the thorn in the flesh really was. It's enough to know that it caused Paul ongoing pain. And Paul tells us three times he begged God to be freed of this burden. But God's answer was, no, live with it, Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in human weakness. Paul races on then to this additional statement. For the sake of Christ, I am now content with weaknesses, insults, hardship, persecution, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Cool. I mean, is this stuff believable? To our spirit and soul. And our soul is our mind, our free will to make choices, and our emotions respond, yes, we believe you, Paul. You really did have it. You had to do it tough. You speak from the depths. Nothing slick or self-serving in your witness. This is the hard, deep-down truth, forged on the anvils of faith in the workshop of human suffering. So what does all this mean for us, for you and me? Where is the strength that is found when we are weak? This healing which happens although we are suffering. This leap forward when we endure some ugly setback. What does this mean in our lives? Well, firstly, times of weakness can open our eyes to things worth living for. It doesn't automatically happen. We're called on by Holy Spirit to deny self-pity and be willing to grow painfully through our awareness of vulnerability and weakness. In times of weakness, physical, personal, or when crosses are thrust on our shoulders by adverse circumstances or by cruel people or whatever, we can see right through the world's superficial values and see things which eternally matter. See, it's in our weaknesses that we are granted the opportunity to reassess and decide where we really want to put our time, our talents, our treasures, our energy. A new attitude can arise out of our hardships, and we can focus on sights on the goals that will remain shining even in the darkest parts of our souls. When I am weak, then I am strong. When we are weak, then we are strong. Our very being is grounded in the very nature of God. Without God sustaining the breath we draw moment by moment, we would immediately cease to exist. Our human inner strength flows directly from God. Down in the depths of our being, we may not be certain where the human ends and the divine begins. Our personal resources are a part of something far more profound and far more holy. That's the part of the paradox that enables us to say, when I'm weak, then I am strong. Yet, there is more. But wait, there is even more. In our weakness, we come to appreciate the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the gift which certainly does not come from our human nature, does it? But from the divine. For Paul always brings us back to this fact of God's amazing grace. Just like we sang before. Remember Paul's thorn in the flesh? And how he begged God on three occasions to take it away from him? For Paul, it seemed clear that the Lord was saying to him, forget the thorn, Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. Rely on my grace, for my power is made perfect in human weakness. Many of us here today, well, I hope maybe most of us, have experienced situations where we felt at our wit's end, right? True? I'm getting a few nods. You're with me? That's good. At that point, lacking of options and struggling badly, well, somehow, what happened? Something holy saved us. We were sustained by something other than our own resources or those of our caring neighbours or even loved ones. Maybe it happened quietly, maybe dramatically. But we were filled with the sustaining strength of a loving spirit, the loving spirit of Jesus. You see, the Lord is always our saving grace. You realize? There's something extra that makes us so much stronger than we deserve to be. The grace of God is always pure bonus. The bread which we eat, the cup which we drink, is truly something other, something extra. And at such times, we can know for certain that when we are weak, then we are strong. Friends, don't look to your own strength. Don't look to yourself, no matter how often the world tries you to sell that line. In actual fact, I'm saying to people now, you know, there's so many words with self in front of it in the dictionary. Self-confidence, self-assurance, self-righteousness, selfishness, everything like that. Replace self with God. God-reliant, not self-reliant. God-assurance, not self-assurance. You get the picture? Put God in the place. Put God's grace in that place. And your whole view of life changes. It does. You're looking at a prime example. I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for me keeping a focus on God rather than myself, my old nature, which the world and the devil keeps promoting upon us. Don't look to your own self, your own strength. Look only to the grace and power in Jesus Christ through the work of Holy Spirit. For through the utter weakness of the God-forsaken cross, Jesus worked out his mighty act of salvation for you. The weakness of the cross. The weakness of the cross saved you and me. What grace? A grace that will never fail you. No matter how weak or frail or despised your earthly life may seem. For the weaker we appear to the world, the more clearly God's power can then show how great his grace in Jesus and the work of Holy Spirit is. For the power of Jesus and Holy Spirit dwells in the weak. You only have to see it work in baptism. Can you remember your baptism? Oh no, you were probably about that big, right? You're about that big? Some of you may have been older. I know, but most of us were without, like that. And we're very weak babies, right? A weak child. Given God's grace in its fullness in our baptism. Where God blesses a person with what? Forgiveness. And brings them into a living relationship with Jesus, where they receive all that Jesus did for them in his death and resurrection. Salvation, in fact. And that saving power will be at work in that child. Actually in you. For the rest of your life. If you remember it. That's why Luther always said, every morning remember your baptism and what you received it. Received a relationship with Jesus. Jesus lives in you, you live in him. Wow, Holy Spirit was given to you to grow faith in you, to remind you to rely on him, not you, yourself. That saving power will be at work in you for the rest of your life if you embrace it, if you remember it, if you see it with the eyes of Jesus, not your own self eyes. You get the picture of what I'm saying? And it can be at work in your life always. For when you realize you're weak, then you too can be strong in Jesus, just like when you were baptized. Pretty good, isn't it? Pretty good what God's doing for us all the time. Our response is what? Receive it. Rely on that. Don't rely on yourself. Because when we do, what do? We fail, don't we? Then we've got to come before God and confess how we failed him, how we've disobeyed, displeased and dishonoured him. And yet God's promise to what? Forgive us. And we call on that, receive it and thank him for it. You know what? You guys and girls are blessed. Are blessed. Enjoy it. Walk in it. Walk in the strength of God's grace. And the peace of God, which surpasses all our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, his grace, by the work and through the power of Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Bless you. Cool. What's up next? I think we're singing, aren't we? Oh, no, we've got a musical interlude for you just to reflect what you've heard and perhaps how does that speak into you? How does Holy Spirit want to encourage you from what you've received today? Bless you. Thank you.